hate you.
What a treat we have now. Because on our phone now, Cobra, we are joined by none other than the man of the hour here in our fair burg, the
still,
man of the year.
Still.
The great Dirk Nowitzki.
How you doing?
Doing really good.
Good.
How are you doing today?
Good. Got some rest a little last night. It's been a rough week so far, but enjoying it.
Yeah, you went right in from a title to your birthday, and you just have too much crap going on. Too many celebrations, right?
Yeah, you know what? It was a great week. I mean, the best birthday ever, celebrations, and it's been an amazing ride. I'm really trying to soak in every minute. Obviously, a lot of people pulling you in different directions, but. And I got to go home soon. I haven't even seen my family yet, so they're mad. So just trying to get everybody pleased and go home and have a good time. So,
I was going to say, I'm a little surprised that you're still here stateside. I mean, normally, after the season's over, you're out of here by now, aren't you?
Yeah, you know, I wanted to enjoy, obviously, the city. This means obviously, a great deal to the city, and the parade was one of the best days of my life. So just really trying to soak it in, trying to see everybody before I leave, and everybody, the whole team stuck around a little longer than normal, so I got to see everybody. And so yeah, but it's time, you know. Unfortunately, I told my family they couldn't come in the finals because I wanted to keep the same routine as the rounds before, so they haven't even seen me yet, so they're really getting anxious, so I got to get out of here pretty soon.
So from like my standpoint, just as like a really hardcore, dorky Maverick fan, it takes me, every time I wake up, it takes me about, it's been a week and a half now, it takes about now when I wake up about an hour to think about the finals and think about how much fun I had going to all those games and everything. For you, how long does it take when you wake up to say to yourself, holy crap, we won the finals?
It's unbelievable still. You know, I don't know, during the day there will be some stuff going on, running some errands or whatever, and then you come home, you sit down, and you're like, man, we're the world champions. So once in a while, it just sinks in, and then the rest of the time is like almost business as usual, you know, whatever. And then all of a sudden, you go to bed at night, and it hits you again. So it's got phases. But I'll remember this for obviously for the rest of my life. This is always what I wanted, always what I played for. And you know, when you work for something so hard and so long, it's just an amazing feeling once you made it there. It's just almost everything crashes down on you, and it's just an unbelievable, indescribable feeling. So it's been really an amazing week.
You know, you've been around here some years now, and you're probably pretty well known to the more sizable portion of the people out. And I imagine you get recognized a lot as you make your way around town as is. But now, man, it's got to be off the charts.
It's crazy. I mean, everywhere we go, we had some dinners and with some teammates, and people would just run in and just go nuts and just scream something, hip hip hooray, and then run back out. Just it's been everywhere we go. It's kind of been a freak show. But obviously it's been great, so that the people are so proud. A lot of people expressed how much they enjoyed not only the run, but also how we did it with class. And I think that was always the message by all the fans we talked to, is that, you know, we did it with class, we did it the right way, we did it with teamwork. We all did it together as one, and I think that's what all the fans really appreciate, and that they've been great.
You know, go back to what you said about your parents and your family, because I know that they were chomping at the bits to get down to Miami for the first couple of games, and how you had to know beforehand that you were going to make that phone call, or you may have told them before that and said, look, this is huge, and like you said, I don't want any distractions, and that means you guys too. Was that a hard phone call to tell
them
that?
It's been tough a little bit for them and for me, and but I think they're very understanding, and once they got over their initial hurt, I think they're going to be fine, and they're going to enjoy this with me for a long time, obviously, and they're my biggest fans, so... it was a little disappointing, but like I said, I was in 06, they came, and I don't know, it was just too much going on in the house, and during the playoffs, I don't leave the house ever at night. I just go to the gym, come back, sit at home, watch games, get ready. So I just felt like I wanted to keep the same routine as I did in the first three rounds, and I think they understood it, and I think they're still going to enjoy when I come over there and celebrate a little bit with me.
You have a parade, like we know JJ was talking about that, you know, all...
I just saw it on Twitter. He just got there today. So,
oh, really?
I'm sure it's going nuts for him, and well-deservedly. He had an amazing run in the playoffs, and he was probably a big key for us when he got in the starting lineup for us to win. So, yeah, we'll see. I mean, I'm going to probably go home next week here, and I'm sure they got something planned in my hometown, but it's supposed to be a surprise. So my sister and some of the people are planning some stuff, and maybe, you know, the mayor will come and give me something. So I think it's going to be a big deal, and I think it's going to be a great fun because, I mean, that town is – actually, whole Germany has supported me throughout the years. Every time in the national team, people come out and support me. So and I can't even tell you what was going on during all the games. People get up at 3 in the morning. Thousands and thousands of fans have had watch parties during the night, so – it's going to be great to see everybody over there, see all my fans, and still enjoy this amazing run.
How big is your town?
We have about 130,000 people, but I'm sure like people will come from everywhere, and I'm sure we're going to have more than one press conference. So I'm sure we'll try to please all the fans and see all the media. They've been supporting me over the years, so it's going to be probably a busy couple of weeks, but. You know, I'll take it. It's an amazing time. I soak it all in.
You've lived here, you know, all your adult life and part of your childhood life, for that matter. You moved over here when you were still a kid. And do you still have, like, really, really close friends, like childhood friends that are over there now? Or have you lost contact with them? Are they still, like, part of your inner circle?
A little bit of both. You know, lost some, still have some. I have some really close friends. You know, I was never really a guy that surrounded himself with a huge posse. You know, that's never me. Yeah. I got a couple close friends here. I got a couple close friends back there, and they can't wait for me to come home and enjoy this with them, and I'll probably have a beer or two with them, and really enjoy what we just accomplished. So, you know, they've been with me every step of the way. All the disappointments we've been through, all the fans. We got to enjoy when we made it.
You know, as I said, you've been around here for a while. We watched you play your entire professional career. We saw you when you just first showed up and were coming off the bench and trying to find your way in this game, and then and all along until now. And I was just thinking about this for you. What must it be like now to be able to stand down and look at the entire basketball landscape and just say to anybody out there, has anybody else got any other questions you'd like answered?
You know, it's really an amazing feeling because when I got here, obviously, I didn't know if I was even going to make it in this league. I had a tough time adjusting on and off the floor, and went through some tough times early on, but I think I always credit, obviously, Big Nelly, who was great and gave me a lot of confidence, but I always want to credit Steve Nash and Michael Finley. They were true pros, had great careers, and I think they showed me the right way on and off the floor. So they were really, really important to me my first couple of years. And since then, it's been an amazing ride. You know, the city got more excited when Cuban bought the team. We got better from year to year, and so it was just fun being a part of all this amazing run. And then we come so close in 06 and you know, just couldn't come through. And it was such a big disappointment. So to get back to the stage and this time win it almost makes it a little sweeter that we went through this whole thing in 06 and now we came up as a champ. Since yeah, it's amazing, man. It's been an incredible ride. And so that's why I got so emotional after we won it, because I still can't believe it all.
You know, you got to look back at it too, and I don't know if you've done it yet, and how much of the games or anything you've watched, but you got to look back in a few years and look at the run that you made through Portland and Los Angeles and Oklahoma City and Miami, and think that was a son of a bitch of a path to a title. I mean, those were some really, really tough teams that offered up some pretty strong opposition, and you know the Lakers especially, you guys mowed right through it. It was, as we like to say here, it was a man-sized run through the playoffs.
I agree. It was an amazing run, and I think if you want to be the best, ultimately you got to beat the best. So, and we literally can say in every round there was an amazing player, an amazing team waiting for us. I mean, people expected us to lose to Portland already, and we fought through a tough loss there in game four and came back and closed them out in six. And I thought we carried that momentum right into L.A., where we were able to steal two road games, which in the playoffs is huge. And then, you know, obviously Durant is one of the best players in this league, and then just kept getting more with Miami with the three superstars. So I just think we took it all. We took every blow there was in this playoff run, and we're still standing. So that was amazing how I thought the team just responded to wins, how we kept staying focused and on the next game, how after a loss we regrouped, we watched the film, we came back stronger the next game. And I just think it was a bunch of veterans that's seen a lot in this league, and we didn't get too high with the highs and too low with the lows. Just kept plugging, and I ultimately kept fighting and kept believing. So it's, I credit that to just being a bunch of veterans that wanted to get it done so bad.
And you know, you mentioned it earlier, but this was a team thing, and to me that's the neatest thing about it, because over there on the other side in the finals you had the complete and total antithesis to that. And this, you guys were over here all about team, and this time team prevailed.
Yeah, I really think it's a credit to our veterans. I think a lot of guys from our team sacrificed a lot. I think Jet could be a starter on a lot of teams. I think Sean Marion had to come off the bench off and on, then started in the playoffs. And Haywood has been a starter for 11 years in his career and had to come off the bench this year, and I think it took him a little while to accept that role. But I just think we had a bunch of guys that were unselfish, and it starts with Jay Kidd every night, who is probably the most unselfish player in this league. We actually have to tell him sometimes to shoot the ball, and it just sets the right tone for everybody else. Everybody else kind of falls in line, play off each other, have fun with each other on and off the floor. And I just thought that the chemistry really carried us through some tough losses there. And it's been just an amazing ride. I'm really dumbfounded.
You know, we had you on, I think it was right before the season started this past year, and so we're only a couple months removed from the big Miami decision. I remember asking you about it. You guys were, I think you were on to promote season ticket sales or new jerseys or something. I don't know.
Yeah,
what
that was a little slow last year, huh?
Yeah, exactly, man. So you were making the rounds. So we had you on, and I remember asking you about...
Yeah, you won't have to do that again this year.
I hope not.
But I remember asking you about the LeBron thing, because, you know, it really, really torqued us off. It really bothered a lot of people in the media, and obviously tons of people across the country. And we spent, damn, it seems like a full week on that stuff. And I asked you about it, and you were very diplomatic and said all the right things. But I was still pissed.
As I always do.
Of course, Dirk. Yeah, as you always do. But I remember being, like, so upset that... But looking back on it now, I'm so glad it happened, because going back to the man-sized run, we wouldn't have had the special story that we have here, and you wouldn't have had this special story, because it does make it so much sweeter that it did unfold the way it did with all that stuff that went on last summer.
Yeah, kind of. You know, during this stretch run here leading up to the Miami game, I said, Miami series, I said it really doesn't matter who you play, because, I mean, it's just... The energy you have to spend to get back to this stage, it took us 5 years. I would have probably played the Clippers or whoever in the finals just because we made it. But looking back at it now, I mean, to beat a team like that with two of the best players in the league, and obviously Bosch is who's up there, to beat a team like that and to win on the road as they did in 06. So I just think a lot of things came together that made it even sweeter. And like I said, it was all done by a bunch of guys who played off each other and wanted to share the ball, so that makes it even better.
So you go to Germany, and are you going to be going to the gym there, or what do you think you're going to do for the immediate future?
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, I still have a big decision to make if I'm going to compete in the European Championship this summer, which obviously is a bid towards the Olympic Games next year in London, which is a dream of our country, obviously, to get there again. I was able to make it in 2008, which was still to this day one of my best experiences in my life. So I kind of have the feeling that I want to do that again. So I just have to kind of you know, weigh some options here. Probably won't touch the ball for a couple more weeks, that's for sure, play or not. But I think it's important when you get a little older to always keep a little fitness, do a little cardio, play a little tennis, so you don't, when you start back up, you start completely back at zero. I think once you're older, that's really hard. So I'm trying to stay a little fit, but try to stay out of the gym for a while. And then here in the next couple of weeks, I got to make this big decision either way, and just got to ride it either way, yes or no, and enjoy the summer. If I play, then it's going to be great. I'm going to have hopefully a great tournament with the Germans and go from there. And if not, I'll probably travel some, see some different cultures as I did every summer when I take off. So either way, either decision I make, I'm going to roll with it and be confident with it.
Yeah, man, listen, I know there was controversy last time, and people talk about every time you play, you know, over there, play during the summer for your country, and it's a big deal. But now, dude, it is not a big deal. Don't sweat it. If you want to do it, do it. If you don't want to do it, don't. But if you do end up doing it, nobody here is going to give you, trust me, no one will give you grief. No one.
Yeah, I understand. I just, you know, there's a bunch of young guys now on the team. We're not the same team anymore that went to Beijing. So, you know, the last 2 years, I obviously didn't play. I had great summers, traveled some, saw amazing stuff in the world. But I kind of promised them, I said, hey, leading up to the Olympics, I was like, I want to be a part of that again. I want to help those young guys get there. So that's where the whole problems come in. I kind of told them I was going to do it, and now to back out would be tough. But hey, I'm just going to see, make an educated decision, talk to a bunch of people, talk to the Federation once I get over there. And I think we're going to find the right decision for both parties, because obviously we've played off each other really well. They understood my decision the last 2 years. They loved me playing for the 10 years before that, and we had some success, got some medals. So it was, it's been an amazing ride on that side too. So we're going to find the right decision, and I think everybody's going to be happy after that.
You know, one thing you're really good at, as we have found out, is dropping completely out of sight when you want to. And you mentioned all these world travels, and just a couple weeks ago, I read a story about your trip to the outback of Australia,
yeah,
which I believe happened right after the Warriors series.
That was after my MVP, and we lost the first round.
Yeah, yeah. And that got me wondering, okay, if this is something you do every year, what is the most amazing or, I don't know, cool or inspirational, whatever the case may be, thing you've seen anywhere in the world?
You know, I think that Australia trip was one of the best, because I had to get away completely, and Australia is obviously not known for their basketball knowledge, and I was able to go anywhere. I was traveling all these different spots, and I was able to, you know, sleep in the car and just completely enjoy the nature and the country over there. So to me, that was still my best trip. And since we lost in the first round, unfortunately we lost the first round, but it gave me all this time. So I stayed over there for like 6 weeks straight, which was the longest vacation I ever took, and saw basically the whole country. So it was that was still the best trip. I was able to, 2 years ago, I went to Africa with the Basketball Without Borders, with the NBA, and did some good stuff over there. And then I stayed a little bit and did a safari in Botswana, which was still amazing to be this close to the nature and all these animals. So I'll never forget that. So saw some really, really cool stuff the last couple of years, and hopefully there's another destination this year if I don't play where I'm going to do some of the same.
Now, do you think that, you know, going back to when you came over here initially, to the Mavericks after they drafted you, or after they swapped with Milwaukee. But do you think that now, because, you know, Rory McIlroy just won the U.S. Open in golf, and he's going back and, you know, committed to the European Tour, and the European Tour is super strong in golf. And I wonder now, with the success and with the strength of European basketball in general, do you think you would make the same decision, knowing that your family's over there and knowing that you could probably get a lot of experience over there playing basketball and then make it to the NBA? You think you would make the same move?
Well, it's a good question, but I think still in Europe, everybody thinks the NBA is the best, and to be one of the best, you obviously have to come over and compete. And I think I just saw Rubio committed to come over here and play for Minnesota, and I just think this, the NBA is still the ultimate dream for everybody. I think, yes, there are some great leagues in Europe now. I think you can make a lot of money in Spain, Greece, top clubs in Italy, Germany has some decent clubs, so I think that's great, but still, ultimately, that the main goal is making it to the NBA. So I think that's still the non plus ultra in everybody's dream.
You know, as you guys were making this run, one thing I kept hearing people say over and over again, and I know you're going to deflect this, but just tell us a little bit about how this makes you feel, or how humbling, or whatever the case may be, is. But the one thing I kept hearing people say over and over again was, I want this for Dirk. And when you got it, everybody said, I'm really, really happy for Dirk. And yeah, everybody's happy for the team and the franchise and Cubes and you know, whoever else may be involved. But the one thing we heard over and over again was, I'm really happy for Dirk. What's that like for you?
Well, it's special, but I think why that is because the people always saw how much that means to me, how devastated I am after losing the first round, that I basically have to travel half the world to just get away, and how devastated I was after the finals in 06, how I had to go on a 3-week drinking binge just to forget everything. So I just think people saw how hard I take it, how that my heart is in it all the way, and I do this the right way and work so hard at it every year, try to practice in the summer and come back and do it. So I just think that the people appreciate how hard I work and the work I put in, and I just think it's very humbling for people to be on my side and ultimately want me to get the ring. It's great.
You know, it's funny because you went on a 3-week drinking binge to forget, and now you're probably going to be on a 3-week drinking binge just to have fun.
Yeah, you know, that's the funny thing. I'm a little older now than I was then, so I actually think we partied harder in 06 when we lost, just to forget about it, than we did now. I mean, yeah, we had some good nights so far, and my birthday was in there. But I'm talking about in 06, Jet picked me up with a party bus almost every day. And we went somewhere just to make it forget and have a good time. And we ended up in Vegas, I remember, after 3 hard weeks. So, and this year, it's been, you know, we had a couple good nights. But like I said, I'm 33 now. I mean, there's...
Your body can't recover.
First of all, that. So you can always party one. The next day has to be off. You can't go back-to-back when you're that old. And yeah, I don't know, just partying once in a while just gets old. But I'll definitely put in some good work when I get to Germany, when I see my friends, and it's definitely going to be a couple good nights there.
You know, that's one guy, too. You mentioned Jet, and people are so happy for you, and they're so happy for Jason Kidd. But that guy that was riding shotgun with you in 06, the only guy left, you got to be really, really happy for him.
Yeah, and, you know, he's been in a tough spot. You know, he had to replace Steve, who was basically my best friend on the team, and Jet came in and didn't really know what to expect, but he's been great. He's been our clutch closer. He's been everything we asked him. And then we asked him to come off the bench. He did that. He adjusted and really thrived in that role. And he's been a great influence. And we all know he's great in the community. Everybody loves him. He's always out doing stuff and running around and helping people. And that's why it's so special for him, too, because he's been there right along with me, and we work together, and he's always in the gyms at night with his crew working on the shot, and just he put a lot of work into it as well, so I'm really proud of him, and especially how he responded there in the finals. I think he had a tough couple first games, and everybody thought LeBron's going to take him out, and for him to really, you know, come out in the media and say what he's going to do and then go out and do it, I was really proud of him. He was probably a big reason there while we pulled it out in 6.
So before we let you go, I know that you're a big tennis junkie, as am I, and I have to figure, especially now with Wimbledon going on, that you're waking up and flipping it over to ESPN2 and catching some...
I actually watched them this morning. Nadal was on, and actually I've been playing this week. We're off. I almost try to hit a little every day. You know, I got a little group here that plays, so we met a couple times already here the last couple... last week, played the summer in shape a little bit over when I get home. I got a big some guys that I used to play with before I came over. So I still love tennis. I still watch it. I went to Wimbledon twice last couple of years, which was a great experience because I still think that's the greatest tournament there is because it's just so famous and the grass just has a different feel. So I was able to go there, meet Federer one year.
Are you serious?
Yes, I did. And he was so nice. Like last time I went there, he spoke to me again. and I saw him at the Olympics in 08 because he competed for Switzerland. So I was able to see him there and talk to him there. So, yeah, he's a great guy. So I was able to, you know, just this whole ride I've been on for 13 years, how many special people I got to meet, and it's been amazing.
Is he your number one? I mean, are you a Federer fan?
I'm a Federer fan. I actually wanted him to win the French a month ago, but it's tough. I mean, Djokovic was on such a roll, and he beat him in the semis with an amazing game, basically played one of the best games of his life on clay, and then 2 days later, another stud comes your way who's unbelievable on clay. So it was tough for him to pull him off, but he's still the best of all times. I mean, he won, what, 16 Grand Slams? It's amazing.
See, I got to figure, too, with the Mavericks winning, so much good has happened in my sports life with you guys winning, and I just have a feeling that Federer's going to just take that one step further and make me even happier here in a week and a half.
Yeah, I think it's going to be tough, but I think on grass he's still very, very good, obviously, with a great serve and his forehand, so hopefully he can pull it off. But I mean, Joko has been amazing this year on basically on all the surfaces, so it's going to be tough, but I hope Federer can pull it off.
Well, good. We'll have you on next time as a tennis correspondent.
Done.
Well, Dirk, you've won the NBA Finals. You're the Finals MVP. What are you going to do now? You going to go in and get something to eat, go to the range? What's the plan?
I don't know. I might go to the range for a few. Hit a couple of 8-irons, and then, I don't know, go eat after that.
Sweet, man.
You just killed the bit. Hey, man, guys, thanks for spending some time with us here today.
You guys have a great summer. We'll catch up when we're trying to sell some tickets in October.
Yeah. All right, have a kick-ass summer.
Tell Damaris we said hello.
We will. I will.
All right, team.
All right, guys.
The great Dirk Nowitzki. He just killed my bit.
That's it. You can't do it anymore.
No, I can't.
Well, good.
I said when somebody said they're going to the range, then that's the end.
You're
of
done.
It.
That's I'm a good
done.
Run.
Good.
That was a good run.
Because I'm sure Brian teed him off just a little bit.
Well, I'm sure he did. He was all ready for that.
Let's take a break for a long time.
All right, let's do that. You've been listening to Dirk Nowitzki here on Sports Radio 13.
30 straight minutes with Dirk.
That's awesome.
How cool is that?
All right, when we come back, we will do community quick hits where we will discuss the latest teacher to be involved in a sexual relationship with her student.
Broadcasting live from the Metro PCS mothership, this is Sports Radio 1310 The Ticket, KTCK Dallas-Fort Worth, KTDK Sanger.